الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan Ayameen. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic Studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic Studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students to the class, welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. Today's topic will be on grateful, being grateful, gratitude, and sometimes maybe mention thanks in reference to Allah. So you're going to open your book, which is Quran. That's the only required text for this class, to chapter 3, verse 144. Again, chapter 3, verse 144. And so we're going to read from this particular chapter where Allah addresses Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and he says to him, Muhammad is no more than an apostle. And indeed, many apostles have passed away before him. If he dies or is killed, will you then turn back on your heels? Or he who turns back on his heels, not at the least harm will he do to Allah, and Allah will give reward to those who are grateful. And so here is just a reminder again, mentioning the word grateful. There was a time when Prophet Muhammad, when he actually did die, and then one of his companions didn't really believe that he was dead and basically told people who said he was dead that, you know, I'm going to take your head. He really loved the Prophet a lot. And then one of the other companions said to him, you know, relax yourself. And then he got on the pulpit, and then he basically said to the people, look, Muhammad, anyone who worships Muhammad, he is now dead. Know this, understand this. This is from me. And then he said, but those of you who worship Allah, Allah is alive. So he made that clear distinction between the two. And basically saying the same thing here, that if he is dead, will you turn back on your heels? No, we're not going to turn back on our heels. We're going to continue to worship Allah as the Prophet Muhammad worship Allah until there's no more mankind left. Until the final day of judgment, where Allah will judge all the people, Muslims will continue to worship Allah and obey Allah to the best of our ability. Are we perfect? No. Is Islam perfect? Yes. But Muslims are not perfect, and so we're going to make various mistakes. So you decide to be a Muslim, you become a Muslim, then you do the best you can in terms of what Allah tells you to do, and ask Allah to forgive you for any shortcomings. If you come up short on doing the things you're supposed to do, at least you had the niyyah or the intentions of doing all that Allah tells you to do. Obeying Allah and obeying His Prophet. Atiullah, Atiur Rasul. Obeying Allah and obeying His Messenger. We do as much as we can on a daily basis of what Allah tells us to do, instructs us to do, and what Allah and the Prophet tells us to do and tells us not to do. We do those things. And so let me move on, my beautiful students. I want you now to turn to chapter 2, and you're going to go to verse 152. Again, chapter 2, verse 152. And it says, "Then remember me," meaning Allah, "I will remember you. Be careful to me, or be grateful to me, I'm sorry, and do not reject me." Again, "Then remember me," meaning remember Allah, "and Allah remember us. And be grateful to Allah, and do not reject Allah." That's all Allah asks you to do. Remember Allah, and be grateful to Allah, and do not reject Allah. My beautiful students, also the Prophet, peace be upon him, he supplicated and prayed for that he would be grateful. Pray that he would be a grateful person. That thank Allah for all that you've given to me. All of my students, you can look around you right now. No matter what condition you are right now, be it a great or not, Allah can take it away from you. Take it away and make it worse than the situation you're in right now. Allah can do that. You may look and say, "Oh man, I'm poor, poverty, whatever. How can I get any worse than this?" Allah can make it worse than that. It's like you when you see a person with no shoes and you feel bad for that person. But then the person with no feet, then you say, that person doesn't have any place to put shoes on. And so you might even feel more worse than that person or about that person who has no feet. Then you have another level of feeling bad about an individual and be grateful for what you have and the person doesn't have any legs. And so that person thanks Allah that has feet to put on shoes, or thank Allah that have legs to carry them about. So we have to be grateful and thank Allah for what we have, because Allah could make it worse. We're alive now. If we're not alive, or the opposite of being alive is dead. We're alive to ask Allah's forgiveness, to seek, and also to seek Allah's being grateful to Allah. And seek Allah's forgiveness. We're alive to do that. Allah could very well make it so that we're not alive to do this, to be grateful to Him, to thank Him for what we have. It's rough sometimes. I mean, it's really rough for all of us, or many of us. Wherever level of rough is, we probably experience it. But Allah could make that worse. Yes, we had those good times, those great times. But then Allah can make it worse. And so we thank Allah for those times when we're in good times and in bad times. Thank Allah for what we have. Even a lot or a little bit, we still thank Allah for it. Allah can make us have less than what we have. Right now, for the most part, probably many people can see. Allah can take away your sight. Many people can speak. Allah can take away your ability to speak. Or whatever this is, the ability that you may have, Allah give you another one on top of that. So you thank Allah, "Oh Allah, don't put any more burden on me that I cannot bear, that I already have, that I'm already experiencing." And so look at what you have. I know you say, "Imam, man, it's rough right now, what I'm going through." So you just turn to Allah and ask Allah to help. And Allah, he said, look, you want help? Seek help from me. Ask for me. And so you go to Allah and you ask for Allah what you need and what you desire. It's no problem doing that. If you have sins that reach the sky, Allah forgive you except for the sins of associated partner with Allah. And you don't seek refuge in Allah, or see forgiveness from Allah for that, then Allah won't forgive you. Because you set up partners with Allah, and Allah sits alone on the throne of authority. He sits alone. He creates all that we see and all we don't see. He knows all that we see and all that we don't see. He's the creator of everything. He said, "Kun fayakun," be and it is. None of us can do that. just say be and it is. We have to come together and draw things on a piece of paper or a computer and then get the person to build certain parts of it, electrical parts of it, or the metal part or something. We need that for us to come together in order to do certain things. But Allah doesn't need any of that. He made a man without the father and a mother, which was Adam. He made Eve without a mother. And Adam, really not her father, but without a male. And then he made Jesus without a male. And so these things are easy, and he made all of mankind without nothing. It's just easy for Allah to do. But let me move on. Also, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, or he used to supplicate or pray, "My Lord, help me and do not give help against me. Grant me victory and do not grant victory over me. Plan on my behalf and do not plan against me. Guide me and make my right guidance easy for me. Grant me victory over those who act wrongfully towards me. O Allah, make me grateful to you, mindful of you, full of fear towards you, devoted to your obedience, humble before you. My Lord, accept my repentance, wash away my sin, answer my supplication, clearly establish my evidence, guide my heart, make true my tongue, and draw out malice from my breast." These are the things that the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, he asked Allah to do to help him make him victorious, also to be grateful and mindful of Allah and obedience to Allah and all the things that I mentioned to you. And these are the things that we should ask of Allah. Why not? None of us are bigger than that or better than the Prophet. This is a man who was guaranteed paradise. None of us are guaranteed paradise. We have to pray hard and work hard in order to get to paradise. We're going to have a lot of things in our way that keep us and try to keep us out of paradise. But we're going to work as hard as we can and jump over all those things that are blocking our way. Go through them, go around them, under them, through them, whatever we have to do in order to get to paradise. This sacrifice that we have to make. It's not going to be easy. You have different things pulling you this way and pulling you that way. But Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ جِنَّ وَإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And he said, "And I have not created men and jinn are unseen beings, except to worship him." Except illa liyabudun, except to worship Allah. That's what we're supposed to do. And that's what we have asked Allah to help us to do and make it easier to do that. And of course, be grateful to Allah, giving thanks in all that we can, as much as we can, and showing gratitude towards Allah. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, "Allah is pleased with his slave," meaning his servant, "if when he eats something, he thanks Allah for it, and when he drinks something, he thanks Allah for it." And Allah is very pleased with the slave, and the one that when he eats something, bismillah, in the name of Allah, and shukran Allah, thank Allah for it. Or when he drinks something, he's doing the same thing, in the name of Allah, thank Allah, shukran Allah, for this thing you have given to me, because Allah can make it so you can't drink a thing, you can't eat a thing, or have nothing available to drink or to eat. Allah allow you, provided for you, something to drink and something to eat. When the birds go out in the morning, they go out with nothing at all. Bellies empty. But when they come back in the evening, they come back with full stomach. Allah provided for them. And if they have any small birds or chicks, then they also have something to feed those chicks or feed those birds, worms or whatever they have, to feed those, to take care of their offspring. This is from Allah. And you may think, oh, I work hardy, ma'am. I work 12 hours a day, whatever. And so, I work hard for this, for what I have. Allah allow you to work hard for that. Allah can take away from you. He can allow you to go to sleep rich and wake up poor. To go to sleep poor and wake up rich. It's in the hands of Allah. Yeah, you do work, but you need to thank Allah for your ability to do the work, be able to go out and do the work. When was the last time, think about it, that you thank Allah for what you have? When was the last time you done anything like that? You could do it in public or in private. You're not doing it public, show off for the people. But you're doing it early in the morning, for example, with no one else around, and you ask Allah, thank you for all that you've given me. Or you take a bite of apple or something like that. Thank you for this bite of apple, Allah. Thank you for the food on our table, Allah. Thank you for allowing me as the man to provide for my family. Because the men are the protectors and maintainers of the family. That's our responsibility as men. This is part of you as a man, and the makeup of a man is that he protects the family and provides for the family. So let me move on, my beautiful students. And that is that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, whoever has two characters will be recorded by Allah as grateful and showing endurance. He who, regarding his religion, considers his superiority and copies him, and regarding his worldly interests, considers his inferior, and praises Allah for the bounty he had bestowed on him, will be recorded by Allah as grateful and showing endurance. But he who, regarding his religion, considers his inferior, and regarding his worldly interests, considers as superior, and grieves over what has passed him by, will not be recorded by Allah as grateful and showing endurance. We must, my beautiful students, please show that we are grateful to Allah no matter what. No matter what you feel about who you are, thank Allah that he has provided for you. You thank Allah that he's allowed you to breathe the air you're breathing, to see, to think, to hear. You thank Allah for these things. Let me move on. Also, when you're talking about a person must be grateful of Allah's favors. You probably scratch your head, what favors? Well, let me read what the Prophet said about that, and maybe you come up with yourself with the favors that Allah has blessed you with. I won't even list all the favors. You come up yourself with favors Allah has blessed you with. Allah's messenger and peace and blessing upon him used to recite in his prayer this supplication. O Allah, I beg of you steadfastness in righteous affairs and firm determination to adhere to the path of righteousness. I beg of you to make me grateful for your favor, and the excellence of the worship of you. I beg of you of sound heart and a truthful tongue, and I beg of you the good which you know, and I seek refuge in you from the evil that you know, and I seek pardon of you for what you know. This is a supplication that the Prophet, may peace be upon him, would say about Allah's favors his favors, and having a sound heart and a truthful tongue. All these things he had, and being steadfast, patient in our righteousness. Steadfast in our righteousness. No one moves us from being pious and being righteous and worshiping Allah. Nothing moves us. Nothing moves us in the other direction away from being pious and steadfast and patient. We cannot do that, my beautiful students. This is Islam. This particular podcast is all about teaching you and giving a class, a weekly class, on what Islam is and what Islam is not. That's it. Developing good moral behavior, moral character, treating people well, treating people with goodness and with kindness, and also being a gracious host towards people. When the companions, they would feed their hosts, or I'm sorry, they'll feed their guests before they feed themselves. When the companions, I mentioned you before, they invited people over their home, they only had a little bit of food, they put the children to sleep, the parents, they kind of stayed in the darkness, and they gave whatever food they had to their guests. And they didn't, guests couldn't see that they were not eating anything, because there wasn't anything to eat for them. This is the way of the Muslim, that we treat our guests better than we treat ourselves. And it doesn't matter if a person is a Muslim or a non-Muslim. You may have all kinds of media and others saying how bad the Muslims are. This is incorrect. If a person is a true Muslim and do what Islam says, then they are opposite of how or the negative way of that characterize a Muslim. Read for yourself. Don't just be told by media and others what Muslims are, what they're doing that for. Read for yourself. Do it for yourself. It's like people did at 9/11. Everyone know about 9/11. You can read for yourself. And they went and they said, who are these people that they got this attacking us like this? And they started pulling the books off the shelves about Islam. You couldn't keep a book about Islam on the public shelves or out of stores. You couldn't do that. Because people start reading about this way of life of Islam. They read it for one reason, but they get to understand Islam and allow open up their heart for understanding that they say, there's something about this thing. I like this thing called Islam. And end up coming to the mosque or going to the various places of worship and find out more about Islam. And then people do what? They end up becoming Muslim. Or even when people go, for example, to Kuwait or other places and their soldiers, whatever, and they go to various places where a lot of Muslims are and having Muslim interpreters kind of thing and they're around Muslims, a lot of the soldiers, they don't want to tell you this. They don't want to tell you this at all. A lot of soldiers became Muslim because of the behavior of the Muslim, the people they're around them, how they treated them, how they only have very little. But they will invite you for tea or to have some pastries or whatever little bit that they have. Come, sit, and enjoy. It's not like showing off anything like that. No, this is the hospitality of a Muslim. And then once many of the soldiers, U.S. soldiers, found out more about Islam, they became Muslim. They didn't go there expecting to do that. They went there for whatever reason they went there for. And so they went there, and then they found more and more about Islam. They had some time on their hand, and so they read more about Islam, and they were a lot around Muslims, and many of them became Muslim. So you could do the same thing, find out more about Islam, and you could decide for yourself, yeah, this is what I'm interested in. This is what I want to be. This satisfy me. I have an empty space within myself, and it seems like Islam satisfies or fills that hole up for me, and I appreciate that. And so, my beautiful students, you open up to Islam, ask Allah to open up your heart to Islam, and Allah will open your heart, and Allah may open your heart to Islam, and then you may end up doing what? You may end up becoming a Muslim. I want to mention something else to you, and that is the Prophet Muhammad said, and when those who hoard gold and silver came down, they were in the Prophet on one of his journeys. One of the companions said, he has come down about gold and silver. Would that we knew which property is best, so that we might acquire it. He replied, the best property is the tongue, which mentions Allah, a grateful heart, and a believing wife who helps a man with his faith. So the great thing about, okay, you have gold, that's okay. You have silver, all right, that's okay. But one of the best things to have, or the best property to have, is have a tongue that mentions Allah much, and a heart that is grateful, and having a believing wife who helps a man with his faith. And I pray that some of my female students become these beautiful wives, Muslim wives, and then they'll be able to help their Muslim husband with their faith. And of course, this is from me, that a Muslim husband be able to help his wife with her faith. I want to mention something else. What did the Prophet, may peace be upon him, do to show his gratitude to Allah? It was narrated by Abu Bakr. When anything came to the Prophet, may peace be upon him, which caused pleasure or by which he was made glad, he prostrated himself in gratitude to Allah. This is what he used to do. When something good came to him, he prostrated himself in gratitude to Allah. Thank you, Allah. For us as Muslims, when we receive something, we show it as much as we can. Thank Allah for it. Or prostrate Allah, prostrate and do it. I don't know if many of you maybe even saw the last World Cup, and that you have some Muslim brothers from a particular country. I won't get into that right now. And so, if I win or lose, they all prostrated, not to their fans, but they prostrated to Allah, thanking Allah for victories, or saying, okay, well, mashallah, so Allah's will, and I'm going to still prostrate. And you told them, and so they laid their head down on the ground and say, oh, you know, Allah, it's in your hands. The outcome, or sometimes they might even, and this is from me, that I might even prostrate before they played. So basically, whatever outcome, it's on Allah. It's with Allah. He knows. Either they win, okay, that's in the hands of Allah, or if they lose, that's also in the hands of Allah. And so they just prostrate and show their gratitude towards Allah, or appreciation towards Allah. Also, it's mentioned when he prayed for his people, and what do you think that he did afterwards? After the Prophet prayed, it was mentioned that we went out with the Apostle of Allah, may peace be upon him, from Mecca, making it to Medina. When we were near the particular town there, he alighted, then raised his hands and made supplication to Allah for a time, after which he prostrated himself, remaining in a long time in prostration. Then he stood up and raised his hands for a time, and after which he prostrated himself, remaining in a long prostration. He then stood up and raised his hands for a time, after which he prostrated himself. I mentioned it three times. He then said, I beg my Lord and made intercession for my people. And he gave me a third of my people. So I prostrated myself in gratitude to my Lord. Then he raised my head and begged for my Lord for my people. And he gave me a third of my people. So I prostrated myself in gratitude to my Lord. Then I raised my head and begged to my Lord for my people. He gave me the remaining third. So I prostrate myself in gratitude to my Lord. This is such a beautiful thing. He prostrated himself and begged to his Lord. Allah gave him one third of the people. He prostrated himself and got up and begged to his Lord. Allah gave him another third of the people. Then he prostrated himself, and then he got up and he made supplication to Allah. And Allah gave him all of his people. And it showed then, he didn't end there. He again prostrated himself in gratitude to Allah. You want to learn more information or know more about Islam, you always go to Why Islam. Go to American Open University for information about Islam and also the International Online University. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan Ayamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.